thank all of you for being with us this evening. By the inconceivable, causeless grace of the Supreme Lord and His beloved devotees, we are gathered tonight in this holy Dham of Sri Rameshwar. Tonight, I would like to try to explain some of the holy places that you have been visiting the last days here in the context of the pastimes of Sri Ram as they are revealed to us in Sri Ramayana. The Asura Kabanda, as he was being liberated by Lord Ram and Lakshman, informed them that in a beautiful place called Pampa Sarovar, there is wonderful forests, lotus flowers, on the banks of which the great ascetic lady, Shabari, resides. There is a mountain called Rishyamukha. There Sugriva, with his minister Hanuman, reside. If you become their allies, they will certainly help you to find Sita and bring her back. On the banks of Pampa Sarovar, Hanumanji met with Ram and Lakshman, put both of them on his back, leaped to the top of Rishyamukha Mountain, and there made allies with Sugriva. There was a yajna after the liberation of Bali performed by Hanumanji to consecrate the vow between the two to be faithful to each other for their cause. Actually, it was at that time that Bali was liberated. And after the rainy season, Sugriva sent his massive monkey armies in the four directions to search for Sita. Lord Ram had the highest confidence in Hanuman's spotless devotion and gave Hanuman his own ring as evidence that he was truly the messenger of Sita. He said, if anyone will find her, it is you. The groups from the north, south, east, west traveled everywhere. Three of the groups came back unsuccessful. And Angada, who was leading the group of Hanuman, they were convinced this was the way they saw her flying when she was in the airways with Ravana. We must find her. But they had no clues. And ultimately, after incredible stories took place, Angada decided to fast till death because he could not fulfill the order he was given. And so many of the others decided to do the same thing. Out from a cave came a gigantic bird. And he saw them there. And decided a great feast has come to me by the will of Providence without my even asking. They were looking at this massive bird thinking, we are finished, he will eat us. And they started praising Lord Ram. How in search for Sita, another great bird, Jatayu, had given his life to save her, and how Ram liberated him. When Sampati heard the name Jatayu, he became very happy. He said, Jatayu, he's my little brother. My name is Sampati. He said, long ago, when I was flying in the sky with Jatayu, we went so high that the sun rays began to burn us. And to protect my little brother, I put my wings around him. My wings were burned off. But I was told that when the messengers of the Supreme Personality of God had come to engage you in their service, your wings will grow back. He said, I have very, very strong eyes. I can see across the ocean on the island of Sri Lanka. That is the abode of Ravana. And there is Sita, the supreme goddess of fortune, the consort of Ram, who is being held in captivity. You will have to cross the ocean to meet her. And then his wings grew back and he flew into the sky. How to cross the ocean? From the place they were sitting to Sri Lanka was over 800 miles. Each of the monkey soldiers in Angada's division were telling the others to what extent they could jump. Angada said, I could probably make it there, but I'll never make it back. It seemed hopeless, impossible. Then Jambavan spoke. Hanuman, you have been blessed by sages to forget your own powers until someone reminds you. But you can easily cross this ocean. Why are you silent? And Hanuman remembered his powers. He said, yes, I will cross the ocean. I could cross the planet by the grace of Sri Ram. And he mounted a large hill called Mahendra. And loudly crying out the name Jai Ram, he jumped. After assuming an enormous size, as he jumped, the entire mountain began to sink into the earth. And the lions and the tigers and the snakes and everything that was in the caves of the mountains came flying out, totally bewildered. The wind that was created by Hanuman's jump caused thousands and thousands of trees to be uprooted and fly behind him. For Hanuman, there was nothing impossible in the service of the Lord. Because he was not concerned with life or death. He was not concerned whether something was easy or difficult. He wasn't concerned whether something was possible or impossible. He was fixed on rendering service to his beloved Ram according to his capacity. And therefore he was fearless. When we think in material consciousness, we are subjected to fear. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of disappointing. But for Hanuman, there was only one thing: to please Ram. And Lord Ram is pleased by the sincerity of our endeavor. No impediment to please the Lord if we are sincere and act, speak, and think in proper devotion. As he was flying through the air, the ocean was so impressed by Hanuman, wanted to do some seva for him. So called the Mainak Mountain to come out. A golden mountain emerged from the sea. And the personification of that mountain told Hanuman that it's a long way. Please rest for some time here. Hanuman considered this was an obstacle. Rest. Krishna says in Gita that two great enemies on the path of bhakti are egoism and lethargy. When Sita is in the captivity of Ravana and Ram is in Kishkindha Kshetra with a broken heart, weeping in separation from her, not a moment could be wasted. No possibility of rest. But still you are offering, so I must accept. So for just a moment, he touched the mountain and said, I am honoring your offering. Continued. Then the mother of the Nagas was sent by the Devas. Her name was Surasa, in order to test the prowess of Hanuman, to see if he was really the one who could go all alone to the fortified city of Sri Lanka to perform this impossible mission. Surasa appeared as a very gigantic Rakshasi. And she emerged from the sea right in front of him and said, I have been given a benediction from Lord Brahma that no one could pass me without being eaten by me. Today I will devour you. She opened her mouth and Hanuman expanded his size. She expanded the size of her mouth. He expanded his size and she expanded her size. Her mouth was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. No matter how big Hanuman went, her mouth was bigger even. Then Hanumanji very quickly took a tiny little size and flew right into her mouth, walked around, went down her throat, come back up, and stood in front of her and said, I have honored the benediction of Brahma. You have eaten me. Now please give me your permission to go. Surasa was very impressed by his cleverness. She blessed him. Motherly blessings under extraordinary circumstances. She said, yes, you go and you be victorious for Sri Ram. Surasa represents the obstacle on the path of reconnecting with Sita, the mother of devotion. of egoism. She kept trying to be bigger and bigger and bigger than Hanuman. Our tendency, we want to be bigger, we want to be better than others. That is ahankar, ego. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karta hamiti manyate. The Bhagavad Gita tells us those who are bewildered by material nature think themselves the doer of their activities. This is called ahankar. As we were speaking yesterday, if we think that we are the doer of our activities, then the inclination is to be envious of people who do more, or arrogant toward people who do less. Either one spoils the spirit of true devotion. Krishna is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability in man. This is all described in detail in the Bhagavad Gita. If we honestly and earnestly consider ourselves to be instruments of the grace of God in our work, then there is no possibility of ego. How to overcome this all-devouring monster of the false ego that is within us and all around us? Hanuman showed us. He took a very small position. Lord Chaitanya taught us. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. When we feel ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant and perform our mood, our feeling ourselves to be unqualified and grateful for whatever grace that Krishna has given us, then by the grace of the Lord, if we take shelter in that spirit of humility, then we can be carried by the grace of the Lord beyond this ocean of ahankar, ego. As he was flying, a rakshasi, Simika, she was really very, very envious person. She saw Hanuman flying, and by her mystic power, she grabbed on to his shadow, which is cast over the surface of the ocean. And Hanuman couldn't move. There was nobody directly touching him. He was in the middle of the sky, like this. He wasn't moving. He was trying really hard. He couldn't move. Then he looked down and saw this rakshasi holding on to his shadow and stopping his progress. Then she came before him to devour him. And she opened her mouth really big. And he became bigger. And her mouth became bigger. And Hanuman again taught us the way we can overcome these gigantic obstacles is when we take a humble position. Now, Hanuman's humility was not cowardly. He was a hero. He was full of courage. He was full of enthusiasm and full of determination. Some people think that when you become humble, you become weak. Just the opposite. When you become really humble, you become divinely empowered. Hanuman took that little position and went right into her mouth, down her throat, went into her body, and with his claws, he ripped her organs, her liver, her spleen, her kidneys, he ripped her heart in half. And as she was falling into the sea dead, Hanumanji flew out and carried on with his mission. She represents envy, one of the greatest obstacles on the path of devotion. Just like she grabbed on to the shadow, shadow is nothing but darkness. Similarly, envious people like to focus their attention and grab on to the negativity of another. Try to focus on the darkness of other people. And even if there isn't any darkness, you'll see it if you have darkness in you. Shishupal saw nothing but faults in Krishna. Not because Krishna had faults, but because Shishupal had so many faults. The world is a mirror of our own consciousness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, one sees faults in other people because they are honeycombed with so many thousands of faults within themselves. A great devotee doesn't see the negativity in a person out of envy or pride, but in a spirit to help, to serve, points those things out like a doctor to a patient. Actually looking to the bright side and trying to remove the darkness. But one of the great obstacles in devotional service is when we find satisfaction, we find relief, we think we're pushing ourselves to a higher position when we hold on to the shadow, the dark side of another. Which means fault finding. Hanuman overcame that obstacle and taught us how to do it too. We have to rip the very root cause of that envy from our hearts, that fault finding propensity. And we can do so by taking shelter of the Lord, chanting his holy name. Finally he arrived in the shores of Sri Lanka when he saw the beautiful mountains, the Trikuta Mountain, and wonderful, wonderful trees and forests. And on the top of this hill, the most magnificent city in all the world, a golden city, the abode of Ravana. So Hanuman decided to take a smaller form. And he went to one of the gates to enter, which was guarded by Lankini. And she saw this little monkey. You have no power to go into Ravana's abode of Sri Lanka. I am here to guard. I have been given a blessing of Brahma that no one can pass me. Now get out from here. She was so wicked, violent. She slapped Hanuman. Now, Hanuman was a brahmachari. He was slapped by this lady. Certainly he respected all ladies. But Surasa and Simika were also. He had to do his service. This was an emergency. So he slapped her back. And she fell to the ground in total pain. Then she got up in ecstasy and said, Brahma told me when he gave me that benediction that someday a monkey's going to come and punch you and you're going to fall down
And on that day, that is the time when Ravana will be destroyed, the whole Rakshasa dynasty will be defeated. So my dear Hanuman, I give you all blessings. Go into Sri Lanka. He waited till it was night because he wanted to see as much as he could while searching for Sita so that he could report everything very nicely to Ramchandra when he returned. He took a size of a very small monkey, like a cat, and he was roaming around. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. What kind of place was this Sri Lanka? Massive, opulent mansions, beautiful, beautiful gardens. He saw millions of rakshasas. Ravana's army had 10,000 crores of soldiers. And every single one of them had mystic powers. They could change their forms. They could fly. They had siddhis by which they could do supernatural feats. And he saw these rakshasas by the millions, guarding the various places. He looked into some of the palaces and they were drinking and playing music and having affairs with ladies. He saw some of them wrestling and fighting and howling. He was just watching. Hanuman was amazed what was going on in Sri Lanka. But his mind was fixed on finding Sita. Eventually, he came to the palace of Ravana. It was exquisite, made of gold and silver, ivory, jewels, carvings, heavenly paintings, wonderful gardens. Even Indra, his abode in the heavens, could not compare to Ravana's. He saw thousands of the most beautiful ladies who were all the maidservants of Ravana. Then he came to one special room where there was a gigantic crystal bed inlaid with gold and silver and rubies and diamonds. And on that bed laid this gigantic personality. He had only one head. Ravana could reveal either 10 or one heads as his desire. His body was actually beautiful. So opulent. His body so strong. Covered with celestial pearl necklaces, bejeweled armlets, bracelets, necklaces, strong liquor smell coming out of his breath, and on his body were scars from the thunderbolts of Indra, from his battles with the demigods, wherein he was always victorious. Hanuman was thinking, if this person just was a devotee, what a great personality he would be. But he's given in to egoism and lust. Then he saw a beautiful woman laying next to Ravana. And Hanuman was thinking, that must be Sita. She's so beautiful. He was very happy. I found her, I found her. According to Ram's wish, I found Sita. But then he was thinking, but she's sleeping very peacefully. Sita wouldn't sleep peacefully in the same bed as Ravana. This can't be Sita. It was Mandodari, the principal queen of Ravana. On the sides of the bed, there were beautiful ladies who were asleep with musical instruments like veenas and harp and flutes. And some were sleeping with chamaras in their hands. He kept searching and searching. By this time, morning was coming. And he came to Ravana's own garden within his palace, the Ashokvan. And sitting under a tree was the most beautiful lady in all of creation. There was a layer of dust and dirt over her body. She was wearing simple white cloth, which was soiled. She was weeping incessantly, crying out the names of Ram. And Hanumanji understood, this is Sita. Morning had come, and he heard people chanting Ravana's glories. The first thing he did when he woke up was go to Sita every morning. And he was appearing before her in a very, very magnificent, handsome form. He would begin by very respectfully praising her. I am willing to give you everything. This Ram, he is not fit a woman of your character. He was exiled from his kingdom and he didn't even fight back. He's not a king. He's living like a hermit in the jungles for the last so many years. What is he giving you? Sleeping in little straw huts? I am the king of all the Rakshasas. I have defeated Indra. I have defeated Yamaraj. No one can stand before me. This entire city of Sri Lanka, I have stolen from Kuvera, my own brother. It is all yours. I will abandon all of my other queens to put you as my principal queen. You will be the queen ruler of the world. We will enjoy forever. Sita was so disgusted. She said, Ravana, you're trying to enjoy me is like an ignorant fool trying to enjoy honey by licking it enthusiastic from the sharp edge of a razor blade. Please meditate on that one. Enjoying honey by licking it from the edge of a razor blade. You're trying to enjoy my form is like taking sharp needles and poking them in your eyes. I will never, ever submit to you. I have given my heart to Lord Rama. Either he will come to rescue me, or I will take my own life. You're nothing but a coward Why didn't you stand before Ram and battle before you took me? Why you disguised yourself and stole me away when he was not present? By my supernatural mystic powers, I can personally burn you to ashes at this very moment. But I'm not going to waste my powers on an ignorant, insignificant wretch like you. And beside, I do not want to steal the dignity away from my husband, who is certainly going to come and send you to the house of death. Ravana was outraged. I have given you 1 year to submit to me. 10 months have passed. I make this vow. If you do not submit to be my queen and enjoy with me, at the end of 12 months, I will cut you to pieces and drink your blood and eat your flesh as a refreshment for my breakfast. Then he called horrible creatures in the form of Rakshasis and said, do anything that is necessary to force her to submit to me. Ravana turned around, went back to his palace. Meanwhile, those Rakshasi ladies were harassing Sita so much, and little Hanumanji, who was just a little tiny monkey in the tree, was watching all this. He was angry. These Rakshasis, they had monstrous forms. Some of them were holding spears, javelins, and tridents over Sita's head, threatening to beat her, to kill her, blaspheming Ram, glorifying Ravana. Some of them said, if you do not submit to Ravana today, I will eat your liver, your kidneys, and your spleen with great delight. I am a Rakshasi. I will drink your blood. Submit, or you will die. Sita just put her head down and cried. Cried in separation from Ram. Hanuman could not see this whole group of Rakshasis gathered around in a circle around Sita, screaming at her, threatening her. His urge was to jump down immediately and annihilate them all. But that wasn't his mission. His mission was to give a message to Sita. At that time, Trijata was the daughter of Vibhishan. She entered into that assembly in Rakshasis and said, please listen to what happened. Last night I had a dream. In this dream, I saw Ram in beautiful, effulgent white clothing on a chariot being led by 1,000 white horses. And next to him was Sita. They were shining like the sun. And then I saw Ravana, dressed in black with a red garland, being led on a wretched chariot with asses. Then I saw Ravana being cast down into a pit of dung and stool. And I saw all of his family members, the Rakshasas, with shaved heads, brooding and grieving over his death, and they were also going down into that heap of stool. Now all these Rakshashis were expert at interpreting dreams. They understood that this was pretty bad. So they dispersed to go tell Ravana what they had just heard. And now Sita was all alone. Hanuman was wondering how to speak to her. She's being so intimidated. And she knows that Ravana and all these Rakshashas can change their forms. If I come before her as a monkey, she may think that I'm Ravana in disguise. He was hiding right in the tree over which she was sitting under. But she didn't see him. So with his good intelligence, he started to recite the glorious pastimes of Sri Ramchandra. In the great city of Ayodhya, there was a king named Dasarath who had no children. He performed a yajna, and from the nectar that came out from the pot of a magnificent celestial person, he gave it to his wives, and Ram, Bharat, Lakshman, and Shatrughna were born. He described the childhood pastimes of Ram, the beauty of every limb of his body, his heroism, his character. How along with Vishwamitra Muni, he delivered Ahalya from being a piece of rock due to the curse of Gautam Rishi. He annihilated all of the Rakshashas and the demons that were disturbing Vishwamitra's sacrifices. And then he came to the kingdom of Mithila and broke the bow of Shiva and had won the hand of Sita in marriage. And how Kaikeyi, by her trickery, due to illusion, had Ram, Sita, and Lakshman exiled. He talked about the beautiful pastimes of Ram and Sita in Chitrakoot, and the adoption of Sita by Ravana, and how Ramchandra was weeping and crying, searching the entire continent to find Sita. And at Pampa Sarovar, how he met with Hanuman, made allies with Sugriva, and how right now in Kishkindha Kshetra, in a cave on the top of a mountain, Ram is waiting for me to come back with the news of where Sita is, so that he could come with all of the monkey armies and annihilate the Rakshasa race. Ten months, Sita never heard anything so nice. She was looking around, wondering, who's speaking this? Who's speaking this? But it was coming out of a tree. Finally, she was looking closer and closer as Hanuman was speaking, and she saw a little tiny monkey looking at her with folded hands, offering obeisances. Sita became afraid. Are you Ravana? Are you in disguise? Are you trying another trick to try to somehow or other seduce me? And Ram came, and Hanuman came down, little monkey. Said, I am Hanuman. I am Ram's servant. I've come to tell you that Ram is waiting for you. Sita asked, why hasn't he come already? Why am I subjected to 10 months in this horrible place of Sri Lanka? Hanuman said, he doesn't know where you are. You've sent me to find you. And as evidence, he gave me this ring to present to you. This was the ring that Sita gave to Ram at the time of their marriage. When she saw the ring, she held it in her hand, put it over her heart, and began to cry in separation from Sri Ram. Oh, Hanuman, how possibly could you have crossed over that massive ocean? Sri Lanka is the most impossible fortified fort in all the world to penetrate. How did you cross the ocean? And how did you get through all the walls and all the guards to this garden? Hanuman, your devotion, your determination, your courage, your love for Ram is unmatched by any other devotee anywhere. Thank you. They spoke. Sita told Hanuman her plight, and Hanuman told Sita about Ram's plight. He just sits on a mountain like a hermit, chanting your name, Sita, remembering you in such deep separation, having no idea where you are. Sometimes I see mosquitoes and insects are on his body and he doesn't even care. He's so immersed, engrossed 24 hours a day only in you. He doesn't care to eat. He doesn't care to sleep. When Sita heard this from Hanuman, she was simultaneously full of joy and full of sorrow. Joy that she's reconnected with Ram through Hanuman, and soon he will find out where she is and he will come to rescue her. That he's constantly remembering her with love. This was giving her joy. But how he was suffering so much was breaking her heart. Hanuman said, please give me something that I can present to Ram on your behalf. Sita said, I will give you something in the form of a message. There's a story that no one else in this entire world knows about except Ram and me. When we were living together in Chitrakoot, one day on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga, we were sitting on a rock, enjoying the beautiful forest, hearing the hymns, the Vedic hymns being sung by the rishis and the sages. And I was telling Ram that this is more beautiful than Ayodhya. What a blessing to be living in the forest with you in Chitrakoot. At that time, a crow, the son of Indra, wanted to test us. He took the form of a demoniac crow. And right before Ram, this crow attacked me and scratched me with its claws to make me bleed. Ram, in anger, picked up one blade of grass, invoked Brahmastra, and threw it at the crow. It was blazing like fire, this grass. The crow flew away, went all around the world, went to the various abodes of the heavenly planets, but nobody, not even the great devas, could save him from this blade of grass. And ultimately the crow came flying down to the rock on the bank of the Ganga in Chitrakoot, and fell at my feet and the feet of Ram and begged forgiveness, taking complete shelter. And Ram gave shelter. He said, I cannot release a weapon without it not doing something. So painlessly, he took out one of the crow's eyes. And the Lord stated that anyone who takes shelter of me with a sincere heart, whatever they have done, I must protect them and give them shelter. Tell Ram this story, and it will bring great happiness to his heart. Then Sita reached into her cloth, her soiled white cloth, and she took out a dazzling yellow jewel. She put it to her forehead and to her heart, presented it to Hanuman. Ram will remember this jewel. Please give it to him. Hanumanji bowed his head and said, Sita, why wait? On this very day, I will take you back to Ramchandra in Kishkindha Kshetra. I jumped over the ocean to get here. Jump on my back, and I'll take you back. Nothing can stop us. Come on, jump on. Now, he was only this big. Sita was over twice her size. He was just a little Hanuman. She said, little monkey, how am I going to fit on your back? I'm bigger than you. Nobody ever questioned Hanuman's prowess like this. Before Sita's eyes, Hanuman expanded himself bigger, 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 till he was giant. And he looked down on Sita, and now he was roaring like a mountain. He said, you see my prowess, you see my size, you'll fit very comfortably. Come on, I will take you across the ocean. Sita said, there's many reasons I cannot come. One is when you're flying over the ocean, you're going to be going so fast and the wind's going to be so much. How am I going to hold on? I'll fly off and fall in the ocean to be devoured by the whales and the Timangilla fish and the aquatic monsters. And besides that, if you're flying me with me on your back, the Rakshasas will see you, and all Ravana's armies will come to attack you, and how will you fight with all of them with me on your back? And besides that, I have vowed never to touch another man except my beloved Ram. But most important, for Ram's fame forever, it is necessary for him to come and conquer Ravana. Therefore, go back and send him my love and these gifts and tell him I don't know how much longer I could survive in his separation. Please come soon. Hanuman went back into his little monkey's eyes and bowed his head to Sita. He left her and decided he wanted to do extra service. He wanted to see the power of Ravana's forces. He wanted to see what was going on more detailed in Sri Lanka. And most of all, he wanted to meet Ravana face to face and reveal his heart.
So Hanuman started ripping trees right out of their roots and throwing them. This was Ravana's favorite garden. And he was very attached to it. Ripping, ripping. And there were very beautiful little sitting places that he was demolishing with his fists. And the Rakshashi women, they heard all this. And they reported it to Ravana, that there's this monkey in your garden who's creating havoc. Ravana sent some soldiers to kill the monkey. But Hanuman effortlessly did away with them. When he heard this, Ravana sent 80,000 Rakshasa soldiers to meet Hanuman. And Hanuman was at the gate of the Ashokvan. And there was an iron fence. He took one of the irons out, big piece of iron like a rod. And he assumed a bigger size. He was roaring, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, come and get me. And with that rod, within minutes, he annihilated all the 80,000 soldiers. This came back to Ravana. He was really angry. By this time, Hanuman climbed to a beautiful temple made out of ivory and gold and jewels. It was one of Ravana's favorite places. Hanuman pulverized it. There was nothing left of it but rubble. When Ravana heard this, he sent Jambuvali, one of his most powerful generals, with an army. Hanuman slayed him. This was becoming very serious. He was sending general after general with armies, and the report was coming. They're all dead. Ravana called upon his own son, Prince Aksha, who was undefeatable, incredibly powerful Rakshasa, trained by Ravana himself. Prince Aksha attacked. It was a great fight. He was shooting arrows that were covering Hanuman's body, causing him to bleed. And Hanuman started fighting against him, and wherever Hanuman went, he kept covering him from head to his feet with arrows. He was tormenting Hanumanji. They were both fighting in the sky. Hanuman decided, this is enough of this demon. He grabbed Prince Aksha by the legs, whirled him around, came back down to the ground. Hanuman ki jai. Aksha, all his limbs were disjointed, his head was cracked. Ravana was struck with heartbreak and fury and sent his eldest son, the undefeatable conqueror of Indra, Indrajit. It was a formidable battle. Indrajit had a Brahmastra that was predominated by a serpent, a naga. He let in the course of the battle, he let that loose because Ravana wanted Hanuman captured alive. So Hanuman was thinking, let me be voluntarily
defeated by this snake rope. Because Hanuman had a blessing that none of these snake ropes could have effect over him more than an hour or two. So Hanuman was tied up and fell to the ground. The Rakshasas beat him, kicked him, and dragged him to the court of Ravana. Ravana scolded him. And all these great Rakshasa generals were surrounding Hanuman. It's a very fearsome scene. And Hanuman looked right up at Ravana, face to face, tied with ropes. And he told Ravana, "You are a coward. Why didn't you face Rama? Why you had to steal Sita? Like a jackal that steals what belongs to a great lion. I am just one little monkey, and you see what havoc I have caused? There are tens and millions of monkeys stronger than me, and beyond them is the Supreme Lord, the all-powerful Ram and Lakshman. Give back Sita, or you will die with everyone in your family." Ravana could not tolerate this. "Kill this monkey!" Vibhishan, the younger brother of Ravana, said, "According to the Kshatriya codes, you cannot kill the messenger of your enemy. He's just giving you his message. You can beat him, but you can't kill him." Ravana said, "Monkeys are very proud and attached to their tails. Light his tail on fire. Drag him through the streets of Sri Lanka to humiliate him, tied with ropes. And certainly he will be tortured, mutilated, and killed, and if he escapes, there'll be nothing left of him." They took cloth and wrapped large quantities of cloth around his tail and soaked it in oil and lit it on fire. Brought him out to the streets, beating him. Hanuman was just looking around, seeing what Lanka's all about. Meanwhile, Trijata and Sharma, the wife and daughter of Vibhishan, they were Sita's dear friends. They told her what was happening. And Sita was thinking that my little Hanuman, his tail is on fire. With tears of love in her eyes, she prayed to Agni, the god presiding over fire, "Please do not give Hanuman any pain. Let the fire on his tail feel cool and refreshing." Hanuman could feel this blazing fire on his tail, and it felt really cool. He immediately understood that this must be the prayers of Sita. Then he reduced himself in size and slipped right out of the ropes around him and jumped to the top of a building. Now a devotee, any situation, sees how I can best serve Krishna in this situation. So his tail's on fire. Instead of thinking, "Oh, how horrible, my tail is on fire," he was thinking, "I can use this fire for Ram's service." So he just touched his tail to the building.
And the whole building went on fire. He jumped to the next building and touched, went to the next. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buildings blazing on fire. Rakshasas were burning alive, jumping out of windows, screaming horrible pain. He was terrorizing Sri Lanka in a very good way.
And it was with the fire that Ravana himself set on his tail. This is a principle of Dharma. When we do something against someone who is dear to the Lord, that very thing we do will undo us. There are many stories in the scriptures of when someone sends a mystical weapon at someone. If it doesn't kill the person, it comes back to kill you. When we cause harm to anyone, there's laws of karma. For every action, there is an equal reaction. Either in this life or in another life, any pain we cause to others, through our words or through our actions, it's going to come back and burn us. That is the law. And from another perspective of a devotee, whatever situation, is always thinking how to use it for Krishna. Soon, a large portion of the city of Sri Lanka was blazing, blazing, blazing with fire. And Hanuman was watching it all. Then he went on top of a mountain and screamed out, "Jai Ram!" He said, "Ravana, the people of Lanka, I am just one insignificant servant, and this is what I have done to you, Sridhi. Give back Sita, or Ram and millions of us will be coming back." And he jumped in the ocean for a moment, put out his tail, and leaped back, climbed to the top of a mountain, and sailed across the ocean. Meanwhile, Angada and the others were all on the shore, waiting anxiously. They didn't know what to expect. Hanuman went alone. Did he cross the ocean? Did he live through seeing Sita? Did he find Sita? Could he possibly live after visiting the kingdom of Ravana as an enemy? Suddenly they saw in the sky the form of Hanuman roaring the names of Sri Ram. And they were jumping. They knew by the sound of his voice, it was so blissful. They knew he was victorious. He had fulfilled his mission. They were jumping and celebrating, and when Hanuman came down, they all went and embraced him. And he told the whole story to Angada and all of his colleagues. Angada said, "Now that we know everything, let's go. Let's go. I'm ready to fight against Ravana. Let's bring Sita back." Hanuman said, "No. She wants only Ram to bring her back." They went back to Kishkinda, to Sugriva's favorite forest called Madhuban, where there were fragrant flowers and luscious fruits. And Sugriva was really attached to that forest. And they were having a victory celebration there. They were tearing down the trees and tearing down the fruits, and there were beehives, and they were sucking all the honey out of the beehives and then making the wax into balls and throwing them around. And the one monkey who was Vanara, who was in charge of taking care of the forest, tried to stop them, and they beat him up.
So he ran and told Sugriva, "These Angada and Hanuman, they're destroying your Madhuban forest. We have to do something about it." And Sugriva said, "If they're in such a happy mood, that means they must be successful in finding Sita. Let us rejoice. Go and tell them to come to meet Ram and myself." So he went back and begged forgiveness and said, "Sugriva's very happy. He wants you to come." And along with Sugriva, they went to the top of the mountain called Prashravana, or Malyavanta, where Ram was residing. Ram was so eager to hear. Hanumanji told him the whole story. Ram, with tears in his eyes and his heart melting with gratitude, listened to everything. Hanuman told him the message of Sita, every single word she said. And then he told Ram all about his meeting with Ravana and his burning the city. He gave Ram the yellow jewel that Sita presented. When Ram saw that jewel and held it to his hand and then pressed it to his heart, tears of love, he said to Hanuman, "Indra gave this jewel to Maharaj Janaka." And Maharaj Janaka, on the day of our marriage, gave this jewel to Sita. Ram was overcome with emotion. "Hanuman, there is no devotee so pure and so great as yourself. What Sita said is true. How is it possible for anyone to cross over that ocean? How is it possible for anyone to face Ravana and his armies and survive? But you did it all for me, out of love. Only Garuda or Vayu could have possibly done it. And you did it." "Hanuman, you have gone way beyond the call of duty. Your surrender, your love, your willing to take all risk has conquered my heart. When someone comes to give such good news, it is our duty to reward them profusely. But I'm living in exile in the forest. I have nothing to give you. All I have, Hanuman, is my profuse gratitude and my infinite love in the form of my embrace." Ramchandra, from his heart of hearts, he put his arms around Hanuman and pressed Hanuman intimately to his own heart. "All I have to give you is my loving embrace." Hanuman considered this supreme fortune. "Nadanam najanam na sundarim kavitam vaj gadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita ki twayi."
Lord Chaitanya taught us this principle.
I do not want wealth
or the beautiful company of the opposite sex,
nor do I want power, great scholarship, fame.
I don't even want liberation from suffering.
I don't want mystic powers.
I only want one thing. Let me be your servant, birth after birth after birth. We were speaking yesterday, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One of his final instructions to all of us is our supreme aspiration in life should be to become the dust at the feet of Rup and Raghunath Das Goswami. That means to see the greatest honor, the greatest privilege, and the greatest of all goals to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees. In that embrace, Sri Ramchandra awarded Hanuman the ultimate elevated position of the servant of the Lord. Samsadhir Haritoshanam. The supreme perfection of everything we do is according to how we please Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Hanuman conquered Ramchandra's heart. This is the power of devotion. When the gopis of Vrindavan, simple ladies, girls, left their homes in the dark of the night, hearing the call of Krishna's divine flute, they took all risks and renounced everything to give Krishna pleasure. In the same spirit, on the deepest level, Krishna confessed to the gopis, "Your love for me is so pure. You've given up everything for my pleasure. I have no power to repay you. Even with all that I have in all the material and spiritual worlds, for an entire lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay you for your love. Please, just accept that love itself as the compensation." This is the supreme greatness of the Lord. He is Atmarama, completely self-satisfied. He's the controller of all controllers. Tumi Sarveshvareshvara Prajendra Nandana. He's the proprietor of everything that exists. But he has conquered and feels himself in debt, unable to pay a devotee for their love. In Sri Ram's embrace of Hanuman, he revealed this most intimate secret of all secrets, the highest revelation in all the Vedas to the world, that bhakti, which culminates in prema, undivided, unmotivated, pure love, conquers the unconquerable. The embrace of the Lord is the eternal liberation and the eternal satisfaction of the soul. Nothing else could give such happiness. And that is what Ram bestowed upon Hanuman, who wept in humility and gratitude. Ram said to Hanuman, "You want nothing but to please me. How can I repay you? You have saved 2 lives. If you would not have come back when you came back with this message from Sita, both Lakshman and myself would not have been able to survive." And then Ram looked around to all of his devotees surrounding him and said, "I'm very concerned. We have this big army, but how is it going to be possible for all of us to cross the ocean to get to Sri Lanka? This is causing worry to my heart." Sugriva had faith. He said, "We will do it. I don't know how, but we will do it. We are your servants. You will empower us. Maybe we'll build a bridge, something, but we'll do it. Have no hesitation. Be happy. Let's go." With Ram's order, all the Vanara dynasty marched to the sea. And they all came to this area where we're sitting. When Lord Ram saw the sea, there was no end to it. It seemed forever. His lamentation and separation from Sita filled his heart. How to cross the sea? Meanwhile, Ravana's spies, headed by Sardula, reported to him that there are millions, countless monkeys who are all assembled on the shore across from the ocean. Ravana decided to call a special war council and brought in his ministers, his generals. He said, "This is very serious. We cannot take it lightly. One monkey somehow got over that ocean and came, and he burned down over half of our Sri Lanka." But by that time, they already rebuilt it all. They were very powerful. "And killed my own son. Killed some of our greatest generals. And tens and thousands of our soldiers. One monkey. And now I'm being given the information that there are millions and millions of monkeys the same size as him." And Ram and Lakshman, it is said by wise men that a first-class leader does not make a major decision without first consulting with an open mind. Wise, experienced ministers,
friends that have been faithful throughout their lives, and family members who have proven their love. And after taking that counsel and seriously considering every word of it, depending on the higher power of God or providence for the right direction. A second class leader, by his own intelligence, searches his own heart of what's best to do, and then takes full responsibility after considering everything. And a third class leader is one who hastily attacks or does something serious without due consideration of the balance of the pluses and minuses. I seek your guidance. The ministers were very enthusiastic. One by one, they stood up, raised their weapons, and spoke. Generals, they were hungry for war. They said, "We have no fear. Ravana, you yourself are the most powerful person in the entire universe. You don't even need any help from anyone." You went to Kailash and challenged Kuvera, who was surrounded by armies of yakshas. And single-handedly, you destroyed them, defeated them. You took the city of Kuvera, Sri Lanka, and the Pushpaka, his aerial airplane. You went to the abode of the Nagas, defeated them. They could not stand before you. You wreaked so much fear in the great, powerful Maya Danava that just to appease you, he gave his wife, his own daughter, the beautiful Mandodari, to be your wife. And Ravana, besides terrifying the demigods and defeating Indra himself, you have caused Yamaraj, the god of death, to flee in fear of you. You have nothing to worry. Prahasta, the commander-in-chief of all of Ravana's armies, he stood up and raised his weapon with a roaring voice. So we will destroy them. Nothing can touch us. You are so powerful, Ravana, that your anger will burn them like fire. The only reason that insignificant monkey was able to create such problems in Sri Lanka is because we were unprepared for him. If we were prepared, I myself, single-handedly, within a moment, could have sent that monkey to death's abode. In fact, just tell me, Ravana, with the might of my arms, I will alone kill Ram, Lakshman, and all those millions of monkeys. Just tell me to do so. Duramukha, he was really a demoniac person. He stood up and showed everyone his club, which was covered with the flesh and the blood which he saved of the different people he murdered in battle. Just tell me, Ravana.
We'll go into the ranks and I'll annihilate all of them.
He said, let us do this. Let's take a whole troop of our Rakshasas. We'll disguise ourselves as monkeys. We'll be within them. They'll think that we are part of them.
And then the rest of us will come from the air and attack, and from the inside and the outside, we will destroy them.
One by one, they were speaking about their own individual power and the glory of Ravana. It became such a scene.
They were roaring. Each one of them bragging profusely about what they could do and who they were and what they have done.
Finally, Vibhishan stood up, the younger brother of Ravana. He waited for everyone else to speak when it was silent. He spoke the truth. He said, in battle, the virtuous are empowered to have ultimate victory, and the sinful are doomed to defeat. Ram is supremely virtuous, and Ravana, the Rakshasas, are sinful. We cannot stand before him. These men are not your friends. All of these generals are simply telling you what you want to hear. They are not speaking the truth. They are talking about Ram and Lakshman being mere mortals. Insignificant. Your own two brothers, Kara and Dushan, with 14,000 fully trained, empowered, mystical Rakshasas, were annihilated by Ram within 2 hours in the Janastan forest. And you say he's just an insignificant mortal? Rama is the Supreme Lord. He's all powerful. His wrath can devastate the entire universe. We are insignificant in comparison. You talk about how insignificant they are. One monkey, Hanuman, you see what he has done to us? Ravana stealing Sita was evil. It was sinful, and it must be punished. I am your brother. I am speaking from my heart the truth out of love. Return Sita to Ram, or we will perish. Ram will forgive you. Just beg forgiveness and return Sita. Otherwise, Ravana, you and your entire dynasty will be destroyed, and you will be the cause of it. As Vibhishan was speaking, all the others in that assembly were gazing at him with wrath. They couldn't tolerate his words. Ravana said, I am going to end this assembly today, and tomorrow in the morning we will meet to make our final decision.
Early the next morning, Vibhishan went through the corridors of Ravana's palace. They were magnificent.
He went by some special rooms where the Brahman Rakshasas were performing yajnas and chanting Vedic hymns to empower Ravana and bring about auspiciousness.
Vibhishan then entered into Ravana's personal chambers. He had a private meeting with him. He said, "I am your brother. Trust me. I love you. I love our race. I have been faithful to you and stood beside you for all of these years through all of your ups and downs and rights and wrongs. Trust me. Don't you see what's before your own eyes? Ever since the day Sita came into Sri Lanka, there has been the most inauspicious omens. When the Brahmins tried to do their fire yajnas, fire doesn't come out, only sparks. The wood doesn't even burn. And all around, throughout Sri Lanka, we hear the braying of asses, the bewing of jackals, the cawing of crows and vultures. At night, there's inauspicious constellations and shooting stars. In the day, there's a dark halo around the sun. Don't you see it? Every day. Return Sita to Ram and live. Otherwise, everyone will die. Please hear from me."
Ravana was very disturbed.
He said to Vibhishan, "Why do you question my prowess? No one can defeat me. I will defeat Ram. Single-handedly I could wipe out that monkey army. Why do you question me? I cannot give Sita up for anything or anyone. I have decided there will be war."
Vibhishan was devastated. There was nothing else he could do. But still, he was going to try.
Ravana boarded a magnificent chariot
and galloped into the assembly hall. He called for all of his generals and greatest war leaders. They all got on their chariots and charged to the assembly hall.
Ravana looked at all of them and said, "I have something to tell you. My heart is totally captivated by the beauty of Sita. I love her more than I love anything. I cannot give her up. It is not a choice. It is impossible for me." Then Ravana told a big lie to them. He said, "Sita promised me that if Ram does not
come back to take her within 1 year, she will agree to be mine. They are assembling. We must fight them. There will be war. Now tell me what you think. Kumbhakarna stood up. You can imagine the size of this assembly hall. Kumbhakarna stood up. The brother of Ravana. He said, "You are asking us what we think? You're talking about first-class leadership? Ravana, you are my brother. You are my king. With all respect, I call you a fool. Why didn't you consult with us before you went and stole Sita? You went on your own. Had Maricha disguise himself as a deer, then you disguised yourself as a sadhu, then you stole Sita away when Ram was away. Now Ram and Lakshman with millions and millions and millions of powerful soldiers are coming to attack the city because of your misdeed. Why didn't you ask us before you did that? Out of lust, you hastily, whimsically performed such a heinous deed of immorality. But what's done is done. By your good fortune, you have a brother like me. If it is your wish to fight this war, I am your obedient. We will fight this war, and I will personally eat the flesh and drink the blood of Ram, Lakshman, and all these monkeys. Have no fear." Kumbhakarna could sense the power of Ram. He had wisdom. But he was speaking what he was supposed to speak before Ravana. After that, all the others started getting up and bragging about how they were going to conquer them. Mahaparshva, with a loud voice, said to Ravana, "Why don't you just enjoy Sita by force? Why all these formalities? You are hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than her. Each of your 10 arms has more strength than 10,000 elephants. She's just a beautiful little girl. Enjoy her." Ravana heard this and said, "Today I must reveal to you a secret that I have not told anyone ever before. Long ago, the Apsara woman, Ramba, infatuated my senses. But she would have nothing to do with me. I chased after her and forcibly enjoyed her. Hysterically, after being raped by me, she ran away to her husband, Nala Kuvera, and then they went to Lord Brahma. Nala Kuvera was so devastated by my misdeed that he cursed me that if I ever try to enjoy a woman by force without her independent consent, then my head would break into 100 pieces and die. And Lord Brahma who is the bestower of the benedictions that makes me so powerful. He confirmed that curse upon me. Therefore, I cannot take her by force. She has to submit to me. And she will never submit to me as long as she has the false hopes that Ram will save her. After that, Indrajit and all the others, they were actually proud of Ravana after hearing that. We are all with you. Never return Sita. Don't even think about it. We will fight and win for you. Vibhishan stood up and tried again. He looked at his brother and said, "Who has put this venomous serpent around you? Sita is like a serpent. Her chiming smile are her fangs. Her shapely form are her coils. And her chaste, faithful love for Ram are the venomous poison that is going to be the cause of your death. Give up Sita and live. By fighting against Ram, you are putting a noose around your own neck." When he was speaking these words, Indrajit was outraged. Screamed out, "Vibhishana, you are my uncle. You are my youngest uncle. I am ashamed of you. Despicable. You are a representative of the Rakshasa race. Rakshasas are courageous, heroic. You are a coward, bowing down to mere mortals. Have you no faith in my father? Have you no faith in the power of our armies? I myself kicked down Airavata, the elephant carrier of Indra, pulled out, broke his tusks, and made him cry. With my own hands, I dashed Indra to the ground, who pleaded for mercy from me. I have defeated the Devas. No one can stand before my wrath. I am a hero. You are a coward. I am ashamed of you." Vibhisha chastised Indrajit. "You are a mere ignorant boy. Immature and foolish. Speaking with such ignorance. Although Ravana is your father and you are his son, you are acting as his greatest enemy. All of you in this assembly hall, you are his ministers, you are his advisors, you should speak to him the truth. If you see him running into fire, stop him. Don't tell him, 'You're so great, go ahead.' You have no integrity." Indrajit, you are an ignorant, evil, despiteful, envious wretch. And you deserve to die. And you will. When Ravana heard Vibhishan speaking like this to his son,
he became furious. He stared into Vibhishan's eyes and said, "It is better to live with a venomous snake than someone who is taking shelter of your enemy." Although
you are my brother,
you are envious of me. This is what happens in this world.
Younger brothers become envious of their older brothers when they see their success, their power, and their fame.
You do not know that Vibhishan, everything you have, I have given you. Whatever you are, I have made you. Yet you are so ungrateful, unappreciative, that you are speaking such ignorant words like a man about to die. If you were not my brother, I would kill you right now. I reject you. I cannot tolerate seeing your envious face. You are a traitor. You are a friend of the enemy. Get out from here.
Sounds very much like Hiranyakashipu to Prahlad, does it not? There are universal consistent principles that demoniac people live by throughout history. Within every heart, Krishna says in Gita, of a conditioned soul, there is the divine and the demoniac nature. And by the choices we make, and by our own seriousness in our spiritual practice, we are meant to cultivate and give strength to our divine nature and subdue this demoniac nature that is within us. Let us examine this family. First, there's Suparnika. She wanted to enjoy Ram and kill Sita. Then there is her brother, Ravana, who wanted to enjoy Sita and kill Ram. And then there is Vibhishan, brother of the same family, who wanted to return Sita to Ram and offer love and devotion. They're living in the same place. In a similar way, living within our own hearts, we have Suparnika's tendencies, Ravana's tendencies, and deep down within, our eternal natural tendency is that of Vibhishana. We can cleanse the heart of the anartas of Ravana and Suparnika, trying to enjoy the goddess of fortune without the Lord, by taking shelter of the Lord himself. And in this age of Kali, the Lord is there to annihilate these demons within and empower the Vibhishan, the Hanuman, the divinity within us, through the chanting of the holy name. After being chastised by his brother Ravana in this way, Vibhishan and his four faithful ministers ascended into this above the ground, into the sky. From there, Vibhishan looked down and spoke his final words to his brother. With all respect for you as my king and my brother, I have honestly tried to help you with love.
But I cannot any longer tolerate your harsh words against me. Nor can I tolerate your sinful attachment to Sita. On this very day, I am going to leave behind my family, all my wealth, everything I have, and renounce you.
Ravana was very happy. Without Vibhishan, there would be no opinion against his own. Vibhishan, with his four ministers, they had such powers, these Rakshasas. They sailed across the sea in less than 1 hour. Vibhishan, with those four ministers, they were very big in size. They were in the sky. Sugriva and the monkeys saw them coming. They were obviously Rakshasas. They had garlands, jewels, lovely clothes, and formidable weapons in their hands. Sugriva said to the monkeys, "They are Rakshasa enemies. Whatever they say they're coming for, they are our enemies. They cannot be trusted. We should kill them immediately." And just as the monkeys were about to attack, Vibhishan said, "I am the brother of Ravana.
Ravana is the one who abducted Sita in the most heinous way. He is the one that killed the great Jatayu.
And now he is emotionally torturing Sita on the island of Sri Lanka.
I have tried all of these days to give him good advice. He continuously rejects me. I can no longer tolerate his sinfulness or his harsh words. I have renounced him, all my wealth and my family, to give my heart and take shelter of the Supreme Lord of my heart and my life, Sri Ramchandra. Please bring me to Lord Ram."
It was his duty. Sugriva went to Ram and told him, "Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, has come. He says he wants to take shelter of you." Ram said, "I trust all of you. Everyone, please give me your opinions, what you think I should do." Sugriva said, "We cannot trust him.
He's a Rakshasa by race. He's the brother of Ravana.
We know these Rakshasas. Their nature, they are deceitful.
Maricha took the form of a deer. Ravana took the form of a sage. How could we trust them in whatever they say or whatever they appear to be? If we allow this man to be a part of us, he'll know everything we're doing.
And in due course of time, he's going to turn against us.
He's going to divide us by spreading horrible propaganda.
He is dangerous. We should kill him immediately. That is my opinion." Another monkey came forward and said, "I don't mind killing him, but he cannot be trusted. If we want to be lenient, we should test him. We should have spies around him at every moment.
Let's give him some missions to perform. And with spies constantly investigating every word and every action, we'll see if he's really real. And after passing all these tests, then we can consider accepting him."
Jambavan spoke,
who was known for his wisdom. He said, "No, I don't believe in all this investigating. We should just not trust this man. We should send him back. After all, he's been faithfully serving Ravana for all these years, even to the 10 months of Sita's abduction. And now that Ravana disagrees with him and speaks harshly of him, he rejects his own brother. He rejects his own king because he's being harshly spoken of. A man who's so unfaithful, how could we trust him? No, we should reject him." Ram turned to Hanuman. "I trust your wisdom and your words. What do you think?" Hanuman said, "Ram, you are the Supreme Lord. You are all-knowing. Everything is known to you. But it is your nature to ask us our opinion. So I will honestly give you my own. I have seen Vibhishan. I examined his face, his subtle expressions, and listened to the tones of his voice. He's an honest man. He has no duplicity. He has come to surrender his life to you. In Sri Lanka, I was told by Sita that Vibhishan was constantly advising Ravana to send her back to you. In that Ashokavan where Sita is being tormented, it is Sharma, Vibhishan's wife, who is Sita's very best well-wishing friend, who consoles her and helps her in every way to live. We should trust him. We should immediately accept him to be one of our own family, as a brother. He wants shelter. Please give him shelter." Ram very much appreciated Hanuman's words. He said, "Anyone who comes to me for shelter, I must give them shelter. Whether they have good intentions or bad intentions, I have to give them shelter. It is my nature." When Sugriva heard this, he went wild. He said, "Good intentions or bad intentions? Whether they make mistakes or not mistakes, how could you speak like this? This man is a demon. This man is a Rakshasa. He is Ravana's brother. Even if he's sincere now, in the midst of the battle, he's going to eventually side with Ravana because the thickness of the blood of family relationships is very, very deep. He cannot be trusted." Ravana then spoke his immortal words, quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Srila Sanatan Goswami, quoted on several occasions in Srila Prabhupada's purports. Ram said, "Anyone, whoever they may be, who sincerely takes shelter of me and honestly says, even once, 'From this day on, my Lord, I am yours,' I must give that person all shelter and protection forever. I declare this vow before all of you. Even if
Ravana himself came to me today to take shelter of me with a sincere and honest heart, I would accept him and give him all protection and shelter for all of eternity. This is my vow. Bring Vibhishan to me now. Upon hearing this, Sugriva, Jambavan, and all the monkeys were weeping in ecstasy to see the nature of Ram's mercy to the most fallen. In great joy, they cried out, Jai Shri Ram! Who could be more merciful than you? It is this nature of your mercy for whoever takes shelter of you that is our only qualification. Sugriva realized he made a lot of mistakes and he made offenses against Bali, his brother. But despite all of his mistakes, when he took shelter of Ram, he became completely purified as a pure devotee because the Lord accepted him. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshaye sachima suchaha. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita reveals this eternal truth. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. For one who surrenders to me, I will relieve them of all sinful reactions and give them protection forever. The Srimad Bhagavatam goes beyond that. One who surrenders to Krishna with a sincere and earnest heart, Krishna gives his heart, himself, to that devotee forever. Dinahina yata chilo harinama udharilo. Even people who have committed the most heinous mistakes and sins like Jagai and Madhai. What were the qualifications of Jagai and Madhai? What does it actually mean to surrender? It's not just words. To take shelter means to sincerely repent for one's past misgivings. To vow to give up one's misbehavior. And to give one's heart to take shelter of the Lord who has appeared in his holy name. Vibhishan comes and descends from the sky with his four ministers, takes off his crown, offers his full prostrations at Ram's lotus feet, weeping with humility. On his knees, Vibhishan told, I am the brother of Ravana. I've tried in every way I could to speak the truth to my brother, but he has rejected me. I have abandoned my family, my home, the dynasty that I was born and raised into. My Lord, now I stand before you with absolutely nothing. The only thing I have is the shelter of your lotus feet. I surrender everything, my body, my mind, my heart, my words to you. Please accept me.
and I vow to assist you in every way to bring Sita back into your embrace.
Ram told Vibhishan,
I accept you.
In the days to come, I will conquer Ravana and all those who support him and make you the king of Sri Lanka.
Sri Ramchandra advised Lakshman to bring water from the sea.
Then Ram took that water to officially consecrate Vibhishan as the unrivaled king of Sri Lanka.
Vibhishan, on his knees with folded hands and his head down in humility, accepted whatever Ram wanted him to do to serve.
While all the monkey soldiers were dancing in ecstasy, chanting the Lord's holy names.
Vibhishan was asked by Lord Ramchandra, how are we possibly going to cross over the sea?
Different monkeys were giving different opinions. One of them said, we should just get millions of boats.
But Ram trusted Vibhishan. Vibhishan said, Ram, you are setting the example of the perfect human being in this incarnation. Ask Samudra, the god of the sea, how this could be done. Lord Sri Ram asked Lakshman to bring kusha grass.
Sitting on the kusha grass facing the east,
he lay down, meditating on praying for the Lord of the Sea to come before him.
Just as he was about to do this,
Ravana heard from Sardula about
the amazing quantity of soldiers that were fighting for Ram.
He told one of the most powerful of the Rakshasas,
who was really a mystic and who Ravana really trusted,
his name was Shuka,
go in disguise
and tell Sugriva that I am personally giving him the message, I have never done anything against you.
So what if I abducted Sita? What do you care for that? I have the most powerful armies. We have conquered the gods.
Don't fight against me. I will be your friend. I will reward you abundantly.
Reject this mortal Ram and go back to Kishkinda.
As soon as he said that,
the monkeys leaped up. He was in the form of a gigantic bird, speaking from the sky, giving this message. Shuka came down and gave this message. And the monkeys jumped up in the air and grabbed the bird and threw him on the ground and started kicking him and biting him and scratching him and punching him. And he was screaming, "Ram, Ram, save me, save me." They were about to poke out his eyes and pull off his beak and tear off his wings. "Ram, save me." Ram said, "Who is calling for me? Bring him to me." And Hiroshuka is trembling in fear, about to lose his life. Ram said, "He has taken shelter of me. Release him." So he went up back on the sky as a bird. And then he said to Sugriva, "Ram, Ravana is going to kill me if you don't give me some answer." So Sugriva said, "Tell Ravana the sin of stealing Sita from my lord Ravana is so grievous. I hate him. He is my enemy, and I will destroy him personally unless he brings Sita back." Shuka went back to tell Ravana. He was trembling. Ravana said, "What did you see while you were there?" He said, "I'll tell you, but you won't like to hear what I say. So just tell me." He said, "There are so many monkeys. There's unlimited monkeys. They're huge, and they're all roaring with anger toward you." He said, "Ravana, please give Sita back. There is no way that we can stand before them without being annihilated." Ravana was so angry at him. "How could you say things like this against me? You are an ignorant fool. Just because you've been beat up, you've lost your intelligence." Meanwhile, Ram sat on the kusha grass for 3 days, waiting for the ocean to appear to tell how to cross the Indian Ocean. We will continue tomorrow. Thank you very much.